Hey, good morning, everybody. Glad to see you. Hey, before I get rolling here, one of the things I want to mention, that I need to mention, is that next week, which is the 21st of April, 21st of April, right after service, we're doing a business meeting. We've not done one in a long time, and we need to do one. So if Thrive Church is your home, we would love for you to participate in that. We are not going to live stream it, so just FYI, it'll be something just for us, but we will be, what's that? No, the business meeting is next week. Business meeting is next week, 21st. So we'll have some stuff for you then. So keep that on your calendar, and if you have any questions, Melissa, Scott, or myself, we can try to answer them, but just come to the business meeting on the 21st, okay? So keep that on your calendar. You should probably get something on the email or Facebook coming up about that as well, just so that you'll see it again. All right, so I have a friend. His name is Kevin, and he's the pastor in Cushing, Oklahoma. And Kevin and I have been friends for a number of years. And he regularly talks with God, and sometimes, I can honestly say on more than one occasion, he'll send me a quick text, and he goes, "Hey, I was with God today, and he told me to tell you this," which is really kind of cool. And I just appreciate when Kevin does that, because he spends time with God in his journal, and he always writes down the things that he hears. The language that he uses is very endearing and full of encouragement. So every time when Kevin reads to me the things that God is telling him in his journal, I've noticed there's this pattern or this theme of kind of encouragement and there's a lot of affection in some of the language. And so he was telling me a story that one Sunday he actually brought his journal into the pulpit, and God had something to say to the church, and he wanted to read to his church what God had said to him. Now, I'm going to tell you up front, I don't remember what the content was. He told me, I just don't remember. And I don't know how long he read from his journal. I would imagine that, you know, a page only takes a minute, maybe two, that kind of a thing. But he read it, and it was part of his sermon, and he went on with his sermon, and then after the service, a gentleman walked up to him, and he said, "Hey, you know that book that you read from? Where'd you get it? And who wrote it? Because I'd like to read it." Isn't that funny? Yeah, he tells that story because it just shows that the power of what the Word of God can do when we're courageous enough to share it with other people. Here he had a guy who wanted to basically buy his journal. I just think that's really funny. So last week, one of the things I mentioned was that there are four primary, I'm going to call them channels, in which God communicates with his people. And just to remind you, there's hearing, there's seeing, there's feeling, and there's knowing. And, well, everyone can receive messages from any one of these channels. Most of us have one way in particular. Most of us have one channel that God uses because he understands how we're wired. He understands who we are and how he made us, and so he wants to communicate using that particular channel. So while you may, you know, see a vision from time to time, or have a really weird dream, and you know it's not what you ate the night before, right? There's a channel that he will often use for you specifically. And Pastor Kevin is a hearer. He hears things. Now, I know that this is where it gets a little bit confusing because, you know, everyone's like, "Well, I would love to hear the audible voice of God. You know, that'd be really cool." And sometimes hearers do hear the audible voice of God. But typically, a hearer will receive some type of word, a phrase, a sentence from God. And for what I've noticed is that it's different for different people. But sometimes they'll just have a word or phrase that'll come into their mind, or they'll actually see it. I know of one guy who would actually see it was almost like a news headline. He would kind of see it, but he would hear the Lord speak to him in that way. This makes sense. But it's words or phrases, and so sometimes it's more of a thought that enters the mind. And the Bible is full of those who actually heard God. And I'm going to give you one example. This is in 1 Samuel chapter 3. We actually talked about this a few summers ago when we were beginning to study the life of David. 1 Samuel 3, let me read this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the Ark of the Covenant was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and he lay down. Okay, this is the Old Testament version, but I would imagine this is, "Why are you bothering me? Go back to sleep," right? Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." You can imagine, he's probably getting a little frustrated, right? Second time. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." And by this time, he's got to be a little okay, am I going to get in trouble for this? Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there. That'd be awesome. And calling out as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And that had to have been something for a little kid to experience that, right? There Samuel is. He's in the temple. He's in the holiest place of all. And the Lord stands and begins to speak to him. And fortunately, Samuel had a mentor in Eli. Now, to be fair, the Bible doesn't think much of Eli or Eli's sons, for that matter. And Samuel becomes kind of Eli's successor by default. But it was Eli, that mentor, who helped Samuel understand that this is the voice of the Lord. And one of the things that I've noticed is that hearers have this almost dramatic connection to God. And the distinct voice of the Lord will interrupt their thoughts. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Kind of interrupts it. And most of the Old Testament prophets were hearers. There's a phrase in the text that you will often see in the Old Testament that will say something to the effect of, "The word of the Lord came to the prophet so-and-so." But the actual Hebrew word is much stronger than that. It's almost more like the word of the Lord overcame the prophet or overwhelmed the prophet. It becomes so powerfully moving within them that if they don't say something, they're going to explode. And my favorite one is probably Amos, because Amos actually got angry. Amos was a farmer, and the word of the Lord overcame him, and so he had to go and deal with these stupid bureaucrats, and he just kind of fusses and moans the entire time, like, "I need to be in the fields, and here I got to do this because you people aren't listening to God." It's hysterical. But it becomes such a powerful motivator in a hearer that they can't help but say something. Overtook or overwhelmed them. And hearers will often have conversations with God. And this is my friend Kevin. He'll have this conversation. And there's a couple of other people that I know that do the same thing. And they'll they'll hear something from the Lord. And one of the great cautions that we need to have, just whenever we're speaking, however we're receiving information from God, is not to get so excited about the fact that God spoke that we get up from the table and leave, but rather understand it's an invitation to a discussion, a conversation with the Lord of hosts. He's asking for more. And so what you want to make sure when you receive something from God is to ask another question. I mean, think about how you met your spouse. It would have been, you know, awful if you went on your first date and your person that you're dating says something to you and you get so excited that you got up from the table and left. That relationship's not gonna last long. Does it make sense? So they'll often have these conversations with God. And one of the things that I've noticed with hearers especially is those kinds of conversations give them a great deal of confidence because there's a back and forth to it, and it grows the relationship in such a way that they have a certain confidence about the fact that God spoke and here's what they said. And also this means that hearers are very often held in high esteem, especially within the church. And the reason is that they hear and they communicate clearly because God is having that direct conversation with a person who, you know, you're actually having a conversation like you would with somebody in front of you, right? And so there's this confidence and there's a certain esteem that they're held in. So I want to offer a couple of comments about this, and then we'll talk a little bit more. But hearers are often made to journal. It's really helpful when we actually record the things that we're hearing God say. In fact, one author asserts that God relies on hearers to actually record his words. That's one of the reasons why we have the prophets in the Old Testament, is because not only did the word of the Lord overtake them, but somebody actually wrote them down for them. So if you think you're a hearer where God's thoughts are kind of interrupting yours from time to time, find a notebook. I mean, seriously, have one with you. Or use the Note app on your phone. Most phones have something like that. But you want to write down what you actually hear, even if you're unsure of the origin. Look, here's one of the things. Assume that you can hear God. And when you write it down, God, in his goodness, will either affirm or deny it. You got to trust him for that too, right? Well, how do I know it's my voice? Look, if you give that over to the Lord, the Lord will tell you if it's yours or the devil's or his. He'll tell you. It will just take time for you to discern those things, and you need to grow in your discernment. But the point is assume that you can hear God, and those thoughts interrupting might be from him. So write it down. And somebody said this to me just recently. I really like this a lot. Your journal is not a diary, it's a dialogue. And that's what you're trying to record is, okay, what is the Lord saying to me? And at least let me write down what you say, Lord, and put a date on it because I may need that reference point later. It's happened to me several times, or I'm so glad that I actually have it written down with a date on it. So even if you don't actually journal, dear diary, you know, you don't need to do that. But log the things that the Lord is saying to you. Look, here's the other thing about writing things down. A lot, you've heard me say this before. If you've been in my discipleship class, this is kind of ad nauseum for you. But this is an important thing. Look, when I go to the grocery store, I need a list so that I get exactly what Lisa wants me to get from the grocery store. Because left to my own devices, I'm coming home with only chips, okay? If I were a bachelor, I would live on cereal. I'm just going to tell you that. I loved boxed cereal. That's probably the only thing I would eat. So when Lisa wants me to go to the grocery store for her, I need a list. I write down so I don't miss anything. Now, imagine, now everybody knows how important Lisa is in my life, but imagine God. Wouldn't it make sense that I would write down the things that he wants too? Yeah. You see where I'm going with that. This is an important thing. that reflection point or that reference point that we have becomes important later on. And I don't want to miss something that he might have said. And so I keep that record of it, and I have a date on it. And there have been times where I'm having a conversation with someone, and it'll immediately come to mind, and then I can flip open and go, oh, yeah, there it is, right there. All right, here's the other thing. Many hearers have indicated that it's easier for them to hear for others than it is for themselves. So if you believe that God actually speaks to you, that you actually hear the things that he is saying to you, notice that when you're trying to listen on behalf of someone else, if it's easier for you or not. Because sometimes when we're trying to listen for ourselves, and I've noticed this too, and I'm not a hearer, but I've noticed that it's a lot easier for me to have a conversation with God about a situation or about someone else than it is for my own self. Sometimes God is a little more active when we're not so self-centered. That's interesting. There's a thought. As a hearer, we want to lean into that. You want to lean into the fact that God speaks on the behalf of others. We have a term for this around here. It's called priesting. It's when we take a person or an issue and we sit with the Lord on their behalf. And we say, God, my friend is dealing with this particular issue. Do you have something you want to say to them? Is there a way that I can join you in ministering to that person? And will you speak to me about this? Great time to write that stuff down, because then you can go to your friend and this is what I think the Lord is saying. Over the last, several years, I've had this happen a couple of times where I've had friends who have been willing to do that for me, and I've had a chance to do that for people even in this church where, I just kind of said, yeah, I think this is what the Lord is saying to you, because I've spent some time priesting for them. And the other thing that I've noticed is that, especially when you're a hearer, when you do what God tells you to do, it's more likely that you'll hear him some more. Does this make sense? There's this idea, to whom much is given, much is required. That's a Spider-Man thing. That's not in the Bible, okay? But it's based on some biblical ideas. Is that, we write things down for this very purpose, is that when we hear him and we do the things that he tells us, it's more likely that we're going to actually hear him again. One author said, if God can trust you with what he gives you, it's likely he'll give you more. That makes perfect sense. And isn't it Jesus who said, those who are faithful in little things will be faithful in much? See how this begins to grow over a period of time? And the thing of it is that very often, especially as Americans, we think that has to do with money. And what I think that the text is telling us that, well, that may be the case, but more likely it's revelation. It's when the Lord begins to speak and reveal himself to us, when he gives us some and we do something with it, when we follow what it is that he's saying, he's more likely to give you more. Here's the interesting thing about the kingdom of God, is that when you truly take responsibility for what it is that the Lord has given you, the reward is more responsibility. Okay? So keep that in mind, especially if you're a hearer. If you are hearing him say some things and you are following what it is that he is telling you to do, don't be surprised if you can hear him more and better. I think those are helpful. Now let me give you two quick cautions here before I keep moving on. One of the things that it's been observed is that hearers often get the big picture, but they don't necessarily get the details. And one author I know mentioned that. That's been my experience personally, that they will hear something from the Lord, and it's this big picture idea, but it's that 30,000-foot view. There's not a whole lot of details. And so what we have to do is we have to trust that God will use other parts of the body to fill in those details. And very often, believe it or not, it's often those folks who are knowers that have some of those details. Well, I don't know how to do that. And the knower's like, oh, I do. And it just kind of works out that way. I'm not sure why, but that's just been my observation. And we should recognize this as one who hears. We ought to have humility to see ourselves as part of the whole and not just the big picture. Because big picture people love the big picture, right? And all the detail people are leaving the meeting going, okay, but what do we do next? So hearers are often that big picture person. Similarly, we can't elevate hearing over the other channels. They're still seeing, they're still feeling, they're still knowing. And it's easy to do because hearers have dramatic and clear communication. And there were often we hold them up in the church as kind of the preferred channel. But we have to develop a culture that sees all of those channels and values all of those channels. We actually need the other channels to speak up because we know the hearers are going to do it. They're always going to do it. And so remember, God is communicating to his people. Let's not lose the headline here. Is that God wants to communicate to his people. Every person has kind of a preferred channel, even though they can receive in any of them, but there's one in particular. But God is speaking, and he wants to have a conversation with each individual within the body. And hearers play an important part, but please understand, it's only a part of all of it. And here's the other thing. If a hearer has a message for you specifically, you still need to discern what God is saying to you and if it's even for you. Because sometimes hearers think that they hear something, and what they do is they don't just hear and report, they interpret. And we have to be very careful. So one of the things that I've heard in the past, and I think that this is probably good advice for anybody, is that the Holy Spirit needs to be present in the receiving of the word, the giving of the word, and the interpretation of the word. And of course, we're talking about prophecy here, but the point is that whenever God is communicating, and whenever we are communicating on behalf of God, we have to understand that the Holy Spirit needs to be present in all of those. And so here's one of the ways we get around that, or actually deal with that. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. But often if I feel like God is speaking to somebody, one of the things that I'll say at the end is, but I submit it to you to discern if it's from God or not. I can only tell you the thing that I heard, but you need to discern, and I submit it to you to discern whether or not that Holy Spirit is speaking through me to you. I don't want to take on the voice of the Lord. So you need to discern whether or not this is for you. Because sometimes people get a little exuberant about stuff. Have you noticed this? God said, uh-oh, we're playing the God card. Hold up. I remember a friend of mine who made an interesting comment. The Lord told her who she was going to marry. And I asked her this question. I said, does he know that? To which she replied, no. Okay. So the Lord told you but didn't tell him? Now, please understand, this is a person who just happened to be in college at the time, and the person that she was talking about was kind of a minor celebrity. It's like, that's interesting. Do you see how important the Holy Spirit is in the interpretation of things? Right? Now, I don't know how that's going to work out. I have no idea, but I just find it really interesting that people who hear what the Lord is saying can very often jump to an interpretation, and that may or may not be their job at that moment in time, especially when you are hearing on behalf of someone else. I got a great gift once years ago. The youth pastor at our church, we attended a large church in Michigan. The youth pastor came to me, and he just said, hey, would you be interested in becoming a leader in the youth group? And he said, I just was kind of thinking about folks, and he says, you came to my mind. He says, but that does not mean that the Lord said that to you. He says, I'm just offering you the opportunity to do this. And I said, well, that's interesting. He goes, yeah, I've had people do that to me in the past too, where they've said, you know, the Lord just put you on my heart, and I think this is something you ought to do. And he said, that's funny. God didn't tell me that. And I think that's an important thing. So, you know, I thought about it, and I prayed about it, and realized that that's probably not for me, and I've never been a youth leader or anything like that, and I'm okay with that. That was not what I felt like my calling was. But I appreciated the fact that I was on his heart, but he gave me the responsibility to discern if it was from the Lord. Are you with me on this? So hearers especially, because you get such dramatic, very clear communication from the Lord, is you have to be very careful that you're not, you know, interpreting the word of the Lord for someone else too. You want to make sure that you give them an opportunity to have their own conversation with Jesus. Because that's what we're supposed to do, is have a conversation with him. So I mentioned that just as kind of as a caution. Always, it's always good to take any message that you receive and to listen in your own way. So as we kind of go throughout this, you may begin to discover what your primary channel is. And if a hearer says to you, I got a word of the Lord for you, then you take it to your prayer closet with your prayer journal and you say, Lord, is this true? And have that conversation. It's always good. Now, as I've been kind of talking here, some of you might be wondering if maybe you're a hearer. And so I really want you to think for just a moment. If you can remember that time when you actually came to faith, when you actually begin to realize that God loved you and that Jesus had died for your sins, and think about that moment or those series of moments, because very often it happens over a period of time for people. But that period of time when you came to faith, what happened? Tell the story in your head, and you might want to write it down, just saying. But what actually happened in those moments? Because very often, how God communicated with you when you first believed is how he continues to communicate with you now. Very often is the case. Why? Because he made you that way. He made you in a certain way, and he's going to communicate to you at a level that you're going to understand, because he's not a God of confusion. And so if you can think about those moments, okay, what was actually happening there? Did the Lord's thoughts interrupt my thought? Was it a word? Was it a phrase? Was it something that just suddenly made sense? What was it? And maybe you are an actual hearer. But there's a good chance that that moment that you began to believe was the very channel that God continues to use in your life today. Very often. Not always, but very often. So your origin story, at least as a follower of Jesus, has a great deal of bearing on how you're operating today as a follower. And so I want to encourage you through all of this to remember just a couple of things. First of all, that God wants to talk with you. Look, if you don't believe that, then you probably don't need to show up for the rest of the series, okay? Because I am presuming that's my basic assumption, that God wants to speak to you. And he's given you a primary channel, probably others as well, but primary channel. And he wants to speak to you directly. Think about how important that is. The resurrected king is wanting to talk with you, because you're a son or you're a daughter and you're significant in whatever his plan is. So if you're a hearer, I want you to hear, and I want you to do it as often as you can and as powerfully as you can, and to share it with whomever you can, and allow him to begin to shape who you are just by listening to him. I mean, like really listening to him. And so, God, I want to pray for the people that are in the room today who might be hearers. Those people whom you have designated as the ones that can hear your voice, however that comes. Of course, we can all hear in some way, but hearers have an opportunity that others may not have. And so, Lord, as you begin to interrupt their thoughts, I pray first and foremost that each person would have this deep sense that it is you who are speaking, and that they would find it profound enough that they may want to write it down, and that you would take them on that journey of learning the voice, so that when those interrupting thoughts come, they can say, oh, the Lord is speaking, I need to pay attention, and there might be some marching orders here, and there may be something that you want them to participate in. And God, I would pray that you would meet them exactly where they are the first time, and then grow them to hear your voice more and more and more. And so I pray your blessing on them, to open their ears, their hearts, and of course, Lord, to also quicken their courage so that they'll follow you more closely. And I thank you in advance for speaking to us and for choosing to partner with us to do your kingdom work in this world. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.